Hello, my friend. This is Clyde. Let me introduce my friend to you. An introduction between two persons can be the best thing one can do. I'm thinking of some amazing love stories where someone played Cupid and introduced one friend to the next, and sparks fly. They get married and live happily ever after, a product of an introduction many years before. There are stories of some persons who land great jobs in progressive organizations, and it all started with someone making an introduction of a friend seeking a job, and the other was able to do the hire. There are some introductions that should never have happened. They go south after a while. Or there was one occasion, for example, when I was being introduced to two people, and my friend who was doing the introduction of the second of the two persons, I interrupted her and I made a colossal error and said something innocent about the person I was meeting, something that was not in any way flattering. I learned a huge lesson that day. Today, I will not botch this interview because I know one and I care for the other. I want you to meet my friend Jesus. In making this introduction, I ask you to do me one favor. Do not walk away until the end. Can I just start off by reciting the opening verse of an old song? I found a friend in Jesus. He's everything to me. It is my honor and sheer delight to introduce to you my dearest friend, and his name is Jesus. I can hear you softly say, I have heard about Jesus before, some great things and some unkind things, but I tell you the source of the information is sometimes unquestionable. But trust me when I tell you that without fear of contradiction, there is no secret about who Jesus is. Jesus is love. I know that sounds funny, but it is true. Jesus is love, and his Father and him, they are one, and you have to hear this. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. Jesus practices love. He exudes love. He is love. The greatest demonstration of love that Jesus showed was when he died. Yes, Jesus died some time ago to save people from sin and hell. Well, we learn that Jesus said that there is no greater love than a man would die for his friends. Trust me when I say that Jesus is love. I can speak from my experience. In the relationship with Jesus, I have found true and unadulterated love. But also, Jesus is an amazing shepherd. Now, I just almost lost you because you're wondering who needs a shepherd, but I'm serious. Jesus compares himself to being a shepherd, and he has won the gold medal of being a good shepherd. Here are some things you must know about Jesus the shepherd. In that capacity, Jesus is the best for the numerous sheep that he has. Listen, he knows every one of his sheep, not just on recognition, but by name. He himself taught a great story about the shepherd, and he highlighted the fact that there are others who try to trick the sheep, and Jesus said, the enemy does not know the names of all the sheep. Jesus does. I love that about Jesus because you would never hear Jesus using the wrong name to call his sheep. He knows all of them by name. But here's something else about the shepherd, and he states this very categorically to every one of his sheep. He says that there is a thief, a renowned thief, who always tries to steal or to kill or to destroy the sheep. And how does Jesus take care of that? He says, I am in the life of my sheep that they may experience abundant life. You don't need anything else when you're thinking of Jesus as a shepherd. A third thing about Jesus is that he is protective about his sheep. Sheep are not aggressive, and they are not good at defending themselves against predators. In fact, sheep are trusting and are known to follow people who are not their shepherd. Jesus knows that, and he takes on the role of protection over his own. In fact, it is practical to describe it as a comprehensive, extensive, unending form of protection. Let me share with you some aspects of his protection that he provides for his people from a popular piece of poetry in Psalm 91. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely he will save you from the fowler's snares and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. And as if that were not enough, he has some agents called angels. These are heavenly beings that serve as a military force. They operate at Jesus' command. Now I have to tell you that you cannot see them. You don't even get a chance to talk to them. But it is a daily round-the-clock activity that angels are assigned to guard you as long as you are his child. You heard me use the word military, and that was not figurative. That was deliberate. Allow me to share one example, probably my favorite example. You might well know the permanent relationship that God has with Israel dates back to thousands of years. Well, sometime in their history, an army, the Assyrians, led by a powerful and ruthless king, were about to attack them. This was a classic case of the symbolic relationship between Goliath and David, meaning the army of Judah was nowhere as strong as the Assyrians. Well, the king of Judah, his name was Hezekiah, turned to God and asked for a miracle. You heard me. He asked for a miracle. Listen to the response from God. That night, the angel of the Lord went out and put to death 185,000 in the Assyrian camp. When the people got up the next morning, there were all the dead bodies. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, broke camp and withdrew. He returned to Nineveh and stayed there. 2 Kings 19, verses 35 and 36. The last feature of Jesus that I must tell you about is his grace. To know Jesus is to experience grace. This is unique to Jesus, the way he generously shows favor to people who are undeserving. We experience grace in the moment that we come into relationship with Jesus. No requirements, no hoops and stuff that you have to jump through. That his grace begins to work at the point of you meeting him. It never runs out. It comes in form of compassion, provision, defense, answers to prayers, peace of mind in difficult circumstances. The best way to describe the Jesus grace is that it is sufficient for every single person and sufficient for every single situation as long as you're in relationship with Jesus. So what does all of this mean? I have told you about my friend Jesus. I present to you Jesus. Will you receive him? Will you accept him as your friend too and get to enjoy what I have been enjoying since Jesus became my friend? It only takes a prayer, a request from you asking him to come into your life and make you a child of God. It will be the best thing you could ever experience.